And now, your host, Jaymont G.
And we're back down at Warbirds on the Fly on EA Radio, AM 1210, 93.1 FM, and on the web at airventure.org worldwide. We're here for our last segment in the hour. It's about 12:45 on Thursday, if you're listening. And we're down here with Rick Siegfried. And Rick is one of the directors of Warbirds. Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon. I'm glad you came down and talk a little bit about Warbirds. We love to talk about them to everybody.
Well, and it's really good to be back down here again this year. It's always nice to come down to this side of the world and visit with you folks. We're going to talk a little bit with you about some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on at Warbirds. You do a lot of that being a director, and why don't you go through with us some of the things that it takes to put this show on down here?
Okay, well, again, you know, you talked a little bit about the show and the operations, and certainly that's an important part of it, the infrastructure of our, the hierarchy of our directors and everything else. So that was all great stuff to cover. But we all are originally joined up here because of the planes, like everything else. We got outstanding Warbirds here this year, and we certainly don't want to take anything away from that. We can't wait to see the latest restoration and how much better it is there, or how much different it is maybe than the last year's winter. So these are all great things. But we also can't forget about it. One of the big things that Warbirds of America does is we work with our members to make sure that we can follow our motto and keep these airplanes flying. And a big part of that is the relationship we build with vendors and things of that sort. But we certainly can't forget about the FAA and their regulatory role, both when it comes to operations, maintenance, qualifications of the pilots, and everything in between. No place else in Oshkosh can you have that face-to-face time, you know, with the FAA personnel, because they want to be here. This is a big part of their operation and seeing firsthand what's going on. So we have the opportunity to put a face to the email or the telephone calls that you've been making over the last year. And when we try to solve any issues that may come up, and to keep our airplanes flying once again.
Well, and it is a convenient place to have, like you said, that relationship, because in person with the airplanes there is so much better than any other medium. So I can see where that would be very helpful to be able to interrelate right down here in the Warbird section with the airplanes and with the people involved. It's the way it should be.
Yeah, it's as it should be. A couple of years ago, we had a little problem with the wing attach angle on an AT-6, and we needed to get it resolved. And, we'd been communicating back and forth with the FAA. There was an incident that resulted in an emergency AD, so we had to inspect our airplanes because we certainly don't want to hurt anybody. And then going forward, though, how do we make sure that we've inspected all the airplanes, there were no problems with any of them, but we needed to make sure that we found the next problem before it surfaced. And so, we worked with a lot of great people and a lot of engineers within the FAA. Well, here at Oshkosh, we were meeting with some of those engineers, and they knew about the problem, but several of them really, they'd never seen a T6, let alone a wing attach angle other than in a diagram. So, of course, we were able to take those that were interested right out to use my airplane on that particular day, took the wing cover off, and showed them exactly what we were talking about, which really helped not only us, but the people that we were working with, have a better appreciation for this particular problem and inspecting it and what kind of condition it was in. And again, this isn't the engineer we're working with directly. They have that expertise, but this is their boss. And, this was the head of the Small Aircraft Directorate from Kansas City happened to be down here. And we were able to show them exactly what the problem was, what we had found, how we corrected it, and put a lot better perspective on things.
Rick, since we're talking about the FAA, let's talk about some of the unique things that Warbirds, experimental exhibition, those type of airplanes go through, and the pilots, they also have to go through some special things that maybe the contemporary airplanes don't.
Yep. Again, a lot of the Warbirds are still in the standard category, but an awful lot of them are in experimental exhibition. And there's a lot of rules and regulations regarding those, as you alluded to. The smaller ones, O2s, things of that sort, Cessna, Skymaster, military version. you know, again, it pretty much is a private pilot, commercial pilot. Somebody qualified gets checked out by an instructor. You know, those are all true. But when you get into the larger aircraft, of course, the TBM Avenger, you know, it's not a standard category airplane. It is a limited category. But you still need, it's over 12,500 pounds. So once again, you need to get a type rating in it. And EAA works closely. We work with the FAA. We're the people that have the expertise on these old airplanes. So we have our own set of examiners. It's not EAA. I mean, they're designated pilot examiners, you know, by the FAA. But we help keep track of that program. We keep those guys current so that when a guy goes out, gets proper instruction in the TBM Avenger, as I mentioned, then he gets with one of these designated pilot examiners. And, of course,
are
he has to go through a check ride.
The Indeepers? Are those the Indeeper examiners?
Yeah, exactly right.
It's a special core of examiners for
exactly
these special
airplanes. It's going to work with experimental. I mean, there just isn't that many gentlemen are getting ready to go out and hopefully fly a P-82, which is a twin fuselage Mustang. And there's not those very many around, but you're going to have a type rating to go fly it. So we have to work with the FAA and actually get an experimental aircraft examiner in that case to give that gentleman and make sure he's qualified to fly that aircraft. And it's a single place airplane, so it's all done by talking on the ground and knowing the guy's background and then having him do the maneuvers that are required as by any flight check and have him performed in front of that evaluator.
Uh-huh. And so the pilot side, they have to have, like you said, some special qualifications, a type rating in this case. What about single seat vintage fighters?
Yeah, again, that's where the single seats is, again, really the TBM. Let's pick on that one. It carries more people, but there's no other pilot station. So it's actually treated like a single pilot airplane, like a Corsair would be or, you know, a lot of the other aircraft. And I happened to get my TBM type rating. And when I did that, you know, we got an examiner. First, I went to a ground school like anybody would. I went to the FAA and applied for a letter of authorization to fly the airplane solo and practice. And then once I was ready, we contacted a designated pilot examiner, and he came out, and we, you know, asked me a lot of questions, did the oral portion of the test, and then basically gave me a profile to go out and fly in the airplane where he observed from the ground with a radio, and completed the task that he was required, and came back on the ground and signed off the certificate, and there I was, a TBM Avenger pilot.
So. That's how it works.
Yeah, and again, the you know, some of the airplanes, like a T-28, of course, it's two-seat. There's pilot examiners for that. You know, that's pretty easy. It's a training aircraft. So obviously, the inspector does ride with you, or the examiner, pardon me.
Now, let's talk about on the maintenance side then, because there is some special stuff with that, too.
Yep. Some of the aircraft, the larger aircraft, sometimes require a maintenance inspection program that gets approved with the local FISDO and their maintenance personnel. And then, of course, the owner-operator is expected to, you know, continue to follow that process. On some aircraft, it's, again, required to be as part of the program letter in this case, or it might be an operating limitations, depending on when the airplane was certified and things of that sort. So so there are a lot of rules around it. The operating limitations are going with the airplane. One of the things we're very involved with right now, working with the FAA, to clean up those operating limitations and program letter and make them more standardized across the nation. And to make sure that we can, once again, maintain these airplanes, operate these airplanes, so we can take them to air shows and allow the public to see them and just enjoy these unique pieces of history that were all left in our charge.
Now, when the military jets from the East Bloc started coming over, I know they created, the FAA created some headaches for those who were taking advantage of the low prices and the availability and the fair. Pretty much the ease of getting them created some programs. Tell us a little bit about where those are now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. In 1993, they actually put out a moratorium for a short period of time, which of course caught a lot of the warbird movement by surprise. Fortunately, we our good relation we had developed over the years with the FAA, we were able to get some direct conferences and get that modified at least a little bit, so that there was a method to get the aircraft certified in the experimental exhibition category. And again, they're not certified airplanes, you know, but at least, you know, put on restrictions. Now, we had a lot of operational restrictives. That's where this concept of the program letter came along, where you had to tell the FAA where you're going to be flying the airplane, how you're going to operate the airplane. And there were a lot of restrictions on that. Fortunately, we've proven over time that the community is properly maintaining the airplanes. We're properly certifying the pilots. Through that development of that, we've had a little bit of easing of some of those restrictions. We're meeting with them currently to help give our input into the rewriting of the technical order, which is the order that the FAA inspectors use to evaluate these airplanes. Again, it's required by regulations, but the tech order is really where the nuts and bolts of their inspection goes. And we're going to try to improve it. So again, the operator certainly doesn't lose any of the flying privileges that he has. And in fact, in some cases, is going to enhance some restrictions that may or may not be on one of those two documents.
Well, and it'll be very nice if at some point the meeting of the minds comes together and they wouldn't have to send that little fax letter in and go through all the chores that they have to currently to take the airplane out of, what is it, a 25 nautical mile?
Well, it was 300 miles and 600 miles was the two restrictions. 300 miles if you were in a 800 horsepower or less, 600 mile if you're a jet or 800 horsepower or more. And we did actually get those restrictions lifted if the owner wanted to apply for them, and we accomplished that last year at AirVenture.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah. And we're really changing concepts. We're working well, getting along with them, and we just have a few little items to clean up, and hopefully we'll be pushing ahead with a revised tech order that we can operate our airplanes under. There's a lot of work that goes on here by an awful lot of our volunteers. We have people in every area of expertise so that, you know, if we got maintenance issues, we have Warbird members that know a lot about maintenance, and they step up to the plate and give us the guidance we need. And it's amazing. We got members that are lawyers, so when we need legal advice, we go to them and they volunteer their efforts so that we take the proper direction. And this is the kind of thing most members never really even think or appreciate. And we never have any problem getting one of our fine Warbird America members to step up to the plate if there's a particular area that of information or an area of expertise that we need. They're right there. We get doctors, you know, to help us evaluate any medical problems, the guys, as we get a little older and things of that sort. And again, that's back to the FAA so that, again, the individual pilot can make sure he keeps his medical, keep on flying as Warbird. And that goes throughout just everything you can think about.
Yeah. Well, Rick, thank you very much for participating with our interview today. We love to come down here to Warbirds. It's always fun every year. And I'm sure we'll see you down here next year. Hopefully, we'll all have a very safe air venture. And I know everybody down here is doing everything they can to make that so. Thank you very much.
Hey, I was glad to be here. Thanks for coming down. And I can't encourage you, everybody ought to visit the Warbird area sometime during their AirVenture stay, because we have a lot of great time down here. You talk to Bill Geis, he mentioned only during the Warbird portion of the show is the area kind of closed temporarily. When they start herding you out of here, it's for your safety and the pilot's safety, and just please come down and enjoy it.
Sounds good. Jaymont G on the Fly from Warbirds. That's a wrap on our show for today, this Thursday. Airtime at 12 noon. It'll be tomorrow at Ultralights. We'll be down on the farm in Ultralights, a very different perspective from here at Warbirds. So join us on Friday on the air at 12 noon, or if you'd like to come down live, we'll be taping Thursday at 2 o'clock at Ultralights. That's all for now. Jaymont G, EA Radio, AM 1210, 93.1 FM, and on the web at airventure.org. See you tomorrow.